All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
And Sean, today we're gonna be doing a few episodes. We missed last week, so we've got an episode, kind of a short episode, before we've got a guest joining us here shortly. But we're gonna be talking about a few things here: experiences, persuasion, kind of some business ideas. We were talking before the show, just some things that kind of the shift in the way businesses are kind of modeling themselves now. We've gone from information. I think that's still important, but now you're seeing more and more people looking at ways to create experiences in their business.
Yeah, and we'll have to talk about, you know, as we're recording this, coronavirus is in full swing. So yep. We'll have to say, like, is that going to hold true?
Right.
What we're going to talk about, or is that now off the board? Like, what's going to happen there? Mm-hmm. How temporary is this? Because I got to tell you, and we'll talk about this more in a follow-up episode, but this is unprecedented stuff that
it is,
at least in my lifetime.
Right.
Like, and you and I are, you know, we've been around a while. So like, this is pretty uncharted. I think probably since 50s, like,
Yeah. I mean,
I can't think, maybe 70s with the oil crisis and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
The gas lines and things like that.
Sure.
But, nothing that's been this global. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right.
And so it's crazy, but yeah, so we'll talk about, kind of the experience economy and, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's the way things were moving. And even as we talk about it, I'm like, ooh, is that going to change after this month? Or
yeah. Especially, you know, with every you see sporting events. I mean, that's a huge pastime in terms of experiences and everything. As we speak, all sports are off the table.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So there's a pastime that will never go away, and that is enjoying a good beverage.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even if you have to do it by Zoom.
That's right.
Or on a podcast.
That's
with
right.
your friend. Like, we still have, you know, the alcohol industry is not going to go away.
So. I did see one stock that was on the rise this week. It was, in fact, Zoom. Zoom was communication, their stock had gone up big time. So
I bet. Yeah. There was another grocery store stock should be going through the roof right now. Mm-hmm. Like, cause every single one of them is packed.
Yeah.
Like, we have two stores. We have a big HEB and then we have a Randall's, which is kind of like a Kroger across the street. And the Randall's is usually empty here in our town.
Right.
And everybody goes to HEB, but the HEB was so full today that Randall's also had a full parking.
Oh, absolutely.
First time in a year that I've seen that parking lot with more than five cars in it. Now I had 500. I mean, it's incredible. And yes, I was there too.
Yeah.
I had to get some Oreos, some Zingers.
You weren't getting Charmin.
No, we already had our toilet paper. We were good. And we're Continental people. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But, so I'll start with my beverage.
Okay.
I also went out to pick up beer because I was running low. Actually, I was out of beer unless I used an older one. So
yep.
I had to pick up beer anyway. So I went with something totally different. We're getting into summer. Mm-hmm. Some of the lighter beers are starting to come out. I mean, it's been 85 the last couple of days here in Austin.
Yep.
So that's been nice. But I picked up, a Blue Moon.
Oh.
So the original kind of craft beer launch.
That's right.
They launched a lot of the craft brew type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they could technically, I think they technically are a craft brew still, but let's be real. They're not a craft brew anymore.
Mm, yeah. They've grown beyond that,
but I've not seen this is iced coffee blonde. So I've never seen like a coffee based beer that was a blonde or a lager or anything like that. So
that's a new
I'm
one
curious,
to me.
Curious on this one to see. Mm. How that pans out. I guess it'd be like a light, like a, what's that called at Starbucks? Like the, don't they have a blonde?
The blonde, at Starbucks? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It would be the blonde.
So that's, I guess this is
the
Blue Moon's answer.
It's the blonde version.
To the Starbucks blonde, I guess. So, but it definitely looks like a lager or lighter.
It's very light.
By the way, our guest who's going to be coming on the next episode, maybe the tail end of this one. He's in Australia or New Zealand.
So he won't be having a beer.
It will be 5 a.m. for him. 5:15 a.m. So,
you'll be,
because we record these on
drinking.
You know, yeah.
So we got the coffee. Drinking, I don't think.
Unless he's doing like Bailey's and coffee or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
So yeah, super light. I mean, it looks like a urine test, actually.
Yeah. compared to what we've been drinking. Yeah,
that's no doubt. All right, so what you got there?
All right, so I'm going to tease. Like, I got to tease this one. Like
I was looking for something that was a little more apocalyptic. I should have got some rogue beer or something, but you just went straight for the.
I couldn't help it, man.
Extra,
huh?
The extra.
I got the extra Corona today. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, I normally I don't drink this stuff, but I thought, you know, given the times, given the occasion,
in the environment, yes, yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. Why not have a Corona?
Corona extra.
If I don't actually get the Corona, I can say I've had a Corona.
Yeah. You sound a little snuffly. You must have it.
Oh yeah, of course. It's allergies, yeah. But I've been very careful. When I've sneezed or anything, which I haven't done a lot of this week, but you know, people are pretty hypersensitive.
Huh? Yeah. Like you have to run around the corner.
Oh yeah. Before you see, yeah. Like, and
no longer does it. Like you got to leave the room or people are going to freak out.
You've got to explain yourself. I'm sorry. I just have the allergies in there. You know, it's funny because, you know, in working, you know, in my work with manufacturers, a lot of manufacturing companies have started issuing no visitations now. And I've had two companies this week, that I had meetings with that said after one was prior to our meeting and, they sent out a message to me that says, we're no longer doing visitations as of now until further notice. All meetings will be WebEx or Zoom or whatever. And then one after a meeting yesterday, I got an email this morning says, by the way, that'll be the last time till further notice that we have a meeting or anything like that. Wow. Interesting times. Yeah.
Very interesting. So yeah, we'll have to get into that more, but
yeah.
So we've got it. So are you drinking the Corona or you just brought that for a prop?
No, it's a prop. I'm not actually drinking that. So you're not gonna drink that. What are you kidding? So I've got I had this one. This is so good. I had to bring it back on, but it is the Macchiato Milk Stout Espresso.
Yeah. I haven't been up and gotten that yet. I gotta go get that. So,
well, you better soon because I don't know how much longer this is going to be on the shelves, but yeah, I've only been able to find it at Total Wine and More. So you may have trouble, but it's very good. So I won't go into the details because I've had this before. But one thing I did leave is I left my bottle opener on the shelf. So I'm going to break away for 1 second.
Here. All right. I'll fill the air time here. So yes, indeed. So as we speak, Mr. Taylor rounds the desk, runs over to the cooler, grabs a glass, grabs a bottle opener. Oh, if he was in a time trial, let me just tell you, this is like the beer combines. So I was just telling the people, it's like the beer combine. Like you forgot your bottle opener. You got to round the table.
That's right.
Run to the fridge.
That's right.
Touch, tap, come back. Like your footwork left a little to be desired.
That's right. But, yeah.
It doesn't matter. Sports are gone anyway.
So that's right. Really, sorry, it doesn't matter. See, that's
a real beer.
That offsets yours quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm jealous now. I feel like I made a bad life choice.
Well, cheers anyway. To good health. Cheers. You didn't really think I was going to drink that Corona, did you?
I don't know, man. It's pretty clear. I'm not sure what's extra about it. Extra water, maybe?
Yeah. Because there was a Corona Light right next to it. They looked about the same color to me, so I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty light, but that's even lighter. So
we've got a Sunday lunch gathering with family, so I'll be bringing that over Sunday.
There you go. All right. So we were talking right before the show.
Yep.
You know, you were out last week and you were on a trip.
Yeah.
And you were going hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you were just going and had a place to go and that kind of stuff. But you actually went with a company where you could just show up and hunt. Which is kind of cool because there can be a lot of hassle to hunting if
it or is.
Any other pastime.
Right.
So you actually went And you kind of had this whole experience that sounds pretty cool.
Oh yeah. From start to finish. This is a family owned business. This is not my first time. This is probably the seventh, probably I want to say that either the sixth or seventh year I've been down there. So it's usually it's
that's
a tradition.
Pretty good lifetime customer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, the first time I went, I was completely hooked. And of course, the owner is just a great guy. It's a family owned company. But this is a company down in South Georgia or a business down in South Georgia. And they own this family owns about 2,000 acres. And all they do is they bring people in for quail hunts. Now, what they do at the beginning of the season, because quail season, it starts in November and lasts until March. So we went last week before because I think the end of the season is like next week is the end of quail season. But at the beginning of the season, they bring in like 50,000 quail onto their land.
For people that don't know, what is a quail?
A quail. Okay. So a quail, think of a very small chicken.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's probably some people listening that don't know what a quail is.
A quail, a pheasant. If you're familiar with
that, right?
What's that?
It's a vice president.
Yeah.
A former vice president.
Yeah. I forgot about old Dan Quayle. No, it's, I would think of it. It's like a small, you know, it's a pheasant. So there's not, you know, some people are not enthused about eating quail because there's quite frankly, there's not a whole lot of meat, you know, mm-hmm. You have to, I mean, yeah. If you're going to hunt quail, you really need to, you need about 24 to really make a meal, you know, a family of four.
It's like a small Cornish hen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's even smaller than that, which means they're small when they're flying and hard mm-hmm. to hit, or can be.
But yeah, so it's to me, it's a hassle. If I were hunting on my own, there's no way I would put the work into it because having to go through clean them and do all that stuff. But here's the value, you know, going back to this company or this business down in Georgia, what they do for you is they bring you in for a hunt. So you'll pay about $350 a person. And they do it in 4-hour sections. So you can come in the morning, you can come in the afternoon and they'll feed you lunch. And so their idea of feeding you lunch is they fix a really nice, and Sean, you're from Georgia. So it's a good country lunch. And they've got one of their cooks who's been there ever since I've been going there. She's there every year. She fixes up like, just the best Southern food.
Is it more like, is it lunch or is it brunch? Like,
no, it's lunch. Like, it's lunch. Okay, I mean,
they had like some biscuits and gravy going on. Or,
well, she'll make up some biscuits. She'll make up sometimes fried chicken. Sometimes it's country ham and mashed potatoes, gravy, just, you know, sweet potato. I mean, just everything that you can imagine. You know, it's the food is amazing just in and of itself. But they sit you down at a large table and they'll bring in. They work a lot with companies that bring in like, you know, people that bring in customers. That's another aspect. You know, you're bringing in a client or something, you know, to impress or spend some time with. That's a great way to bring them in, spend about 4 hours out, you know, quail hunting with them. Right. But it's really
worried about all the logistics and all that.
Exactly. Everything's taken care of. Even if you don't have a shotgun, they provide that for you, the whole experience. Wow. So you basically show up, they feed you, they take you out. What they do is, you know, they have their dogs, these trained dogs that are pointers. They take you out. They do all the pointing. They take you to the location exactly. And you just, you know, the dogs simply flush them out for you. And it is experience. Because here's the thing about it. If you try to do this yourself, you would probably not, you know, be as successful because the time that it takes you, even if you have a trained dog, to flush up a covey, it takes an enormous amount of time. But these people know exactly the places to go to, where to take you.
Well, so, you said they're bringing in quail, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so it's like a stock. It's like trout fishing in a stock pond.
Oh yeah, you know?
It's like, just throw it in, you're going to catch something.
Yeah, they bring in at the beginning of the season. I think they brought in like 50,000 or 60,000 quail, somewhere around there.
And, so the first time you went, did you go by yourself?
I went with my brother. because he lives down there. So he found out about this place. And so that's how I first learned about it. And then we started.
And then since then, you've been back probably with him, but you've also, you took your son, right?
Yep. That's took my time. Son for the first time. And he just loved it.
Have you taken clients?
No, but I've mentioned this place to some clients and I'm meaning to take some who are super excited. It's just the timing's not always great because, you know, it's really the best times to go are a lot of times during the week or on the or near the end of the week or the weekend. And that's sometimes difficult to get people out. So, excuse me.
So, I mean, that's a good example of an experience economy type business where you go, everything's taken care of.
Exactly.
Have a good time. Like there's some other things like here in Austin, they have this thing called a rage room. Have you heard of these?
No, I haven't.
So it's a room that you literally go in and you just destroy stuff.
Oh man.
So they'll have like TVs, computers, glasses, vases, lamps.
Right.
And they give you hammers, sledgehammers. You can throw stuff and you get like an hour and you can take a group. You can go by yourself.
Right.
And literally you just go in there and just like get just rage.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
For an hour.
Talk about getting some aggression out.
Yeah. I mean, they give you the goggles. You don't have to clean anything up when you're done. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not your stuff you're breaking. So there's no, I mean, these things are like $125, $150. Mm-hmm. You know, for two or three people, and then you can pay a little bit more to get more items, depending on how many items you want to break and stuff like that. But yeah. And then there's the exit rooms where you're trying to get out with the clues and things like that.
Oh yeah. Like one in Knoxville, like Breakout Knoxville.
Is one. Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, these are, and we've always had these around, but it seems like there's more variety now. But you know, it makes me wonder, like as a business, especially if you're in information or if you're in, you know, even in some more traditional businesses, is there a way to tack on an experience?
Right.
You know, we've seen this in newsletters like Dan Kennedy's newsletters and things like this, where he talks about, you know, doing an ice cream social if you're an insurance agent in the summertime and let people experience like a barbecue or an ice cream and things like that. And you bring in the ice cream cart and the hot dog cart and everything and let people experience doing business with you other than just like a phone call and some paper that goes back and forth.
Absolutely.
So, of course the wild card in the moment is like, all right, did we just get a major setback in that world? Like, I've seen some friends, and I'd be curious your thoughts on this, but some of my friends on Facebook have made the comment that they think this is one of those like cultural shifts, kind of like 9/11 was, that it just changes the way we get around and do things and things like that. I don't know. I feel like it's too soon to make that call, but it certainly feels that way right now.
Yeah.
Like we said earlier at the top of the show, this is unprecedented. I mean, canceling sport, even 9/11,
right?
Like baseball was canceled for what? 3 days, three games, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, they canceled the entire rest of the season in three sports,
right?
Major sports.
And the Masters that's coming up. Yeah. I mean, which is huge, you know?
Yeah.
That's everyone that's looks like, forward to that.
And that's Augusta's like economy for the
absolutely. Year. If you've ever been through Augusta, you look at the rest of that town and you're like, you know, they depend on that. That's huge for them.
Yeah, I lived there in like 4th through 7th grade. Mm-hmm. And I remember every year spring break was always timed with the Masters. Mm-hmm. And we would rent out our house Airbnb style before there was Airbnb.
Oh, nice.
So we would. Everybody that lives in Augusta, not everybody, a lot of people that lived in Augusta would leave town and go to the beach, Myrtle
Absolutely.
Beach, Jekyll Island, whatever, and rent out their house and have their vacation paid for.
And probably make money on top of that.
And make money, So, you know, all those people aren't going to be able to do that, you know, all those cancellations, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a crazy ripple effect.
It is. You know, I'm not sure how it's going to affect those smaller, you know, I can see large crowd gatherings. Obviously it's going to take it's a major impact there, but you know, I look at these small type group, you know, organizations like this, you know, just talking about this quail hunt thing where, you know, they'll bring out maybe in a given day, you know, 30 people, you know,
yeah.
30, 40 people in a given day. I mean, you do the numbers. They're still making, they're making a ton of money. You know, you're talking 350 a head. So they're looking at, you know, 12 grand, 13, 14, you know, like 13 grand, 14 grand, a day. You know, things like that, because they're small groups and they schedule these people in advance. And most of, here's the thing, most of these people are returning people that are, they're not total strangers. So they're repeat clients like myself, you know, and other family members who have developed a long-term relationship. And they're like, you know, they call up the owner, Alan, and they're like, hey man, I need a date. I need this date booked. You got any, you got a spot available on this, you know, and he's slammed. I mean, throughout the year, well,
and I could make the argument that if we do start to sequester ourselves and we go more to video chats and these things, the smaller events like you're talking about are actually going to be more valuable.
Absolutely.
In the future, not less valuable. Because people are not, I mean, it's kind of like when you go do an in-person sales call, it's still more powerful than what you can do on video.
Right.
And even though a lot of people have, you know, gotten away from it, they don't fly to meetings as much as they used to. But when you do, when you really want to get a deal done, most people still go face to face. And I think there'll be a huge chunk of that is taken away.
Yeah.
But the most important stuff and or stuff that is, you know, super like, personal will.
Yeah.
The experience type stuff will happen.
Right. Well, here's another example. You know, I interviewed a guy, it was a few years ago, and he still does this very successfully, but a guy named Steve Silberberg, he runs a business called, I cannot remember off the top of my head. It's right on the top of my tongue, but basically he takes people on backpacking trips. And he takes them in groups of usually about, you know, a small group of like 10 to 15. And, you know, going back to that idea of experience, what he does is he plans out everything. I mean, even if they don't have to have food, he basically meal preps for them. He asks them, they fill out a series of questions on his website, or when they contact him, he asks them if they have food preferences, if they have any allergies, and he does a lot of the work of the food prep and everything for them, and helping them, and then helping them, you know, determine what backpacks and everything to pick. And then he selects the location where they're going to go. And, you know, he'll take out a group of like 7, 8, 9, you know, no more than 10 at a time. And these are people that are simply backpacking for the sake of just getting out and getting exercise.
And it's kind of like the old whitewater rafting tours and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You don't have to worry about it. You just hop on the boat. They teach you how to paddle the whole bit.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, if you've ever actually done any kayaking or rafting, canoeing with yourself, like it's a major hassle.
Right.
To have, you got to have two cars. You got to have one where you start. You got to have another car where you drop off so that you can get back to the first car.
Yep.
Like, it's a hassle. Like,
oh, absolutely.
And there's some nice things about it, but, you know, sometimes you just want the experience that you can walk away from and things like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. He's, you know, and here's the thing, people pay for that experience, and he was charging upwards of about $3,000 to $5,000, I think, per person, because basically, you know, he planned out the trip for him, and he was an experienced guide. So people trusted him, and he knew what he was doing.
Imagine if REI, you know, hired one guy in each area to do something like that, the revenue they could tack on to business. Like, and I think there's those types of opportunities in just, I'm sure if, you know, you and I and somebody else sat down with any business owner in any industry, we could find a similar, we could find something that they could add on as an experience.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, even some of your manufacturing people, they're like, well, what would they do? Well, there's something if we dug around a little bit and found it. So I think that's the point of this short episode is like, hey, one way that you can really deepen bonds with your clients, your customers, is to add on experiences. Mm-hmm. And as the world gets more virtual and more sequestered, I think it's actually going to become more valuable. We'll see how this whole thing shakes out with the whole virus thing.
Right.
But yeah, I think it could be very valuable. So, well, Jonathan, I see our next guest is,
he's on. He is on.
Well, hey, Brennan, are you there? You're on mute. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So we're going to wrap up this episode, but Brennan Hopkins is going to be joining us on the next episode. So make sure you tune in for that. And Brennan is from, are you in Australia or New Zealand, or where are you at, Brennan?
Yeah, I'm in Australia now, but yeah, I'm from Virginia originally.
Okay. So we're going to be talking to Brennan about on the next episode about how travel can make you more persuasive. So that should be interesting.
Awesome. So, hey, that's a nice lead in from what we've just been talking about.
Isn't that cool? So it's almost like we planned it, but we absolutely did not. So Brennan, hold tight for a second. We're going to do our little outro and then we'll pick up and talk to you.
Perfect.
All right, guys. So you can find us again, persuasionbythepint.com. Thanks for listening. And definitely tune in to this next episode coming up with Brennan. This is going to be very interesting to hear his story. But thanks again. And Sean, until next episode, we'll see you then.
See you.